Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I've titled this series in a very simple way. I couldn't think of anything fancy that would maybe stick to you and you'd remember it forever, but I simply titled, What of My Faith? That's going to be the subject of conversation for the next several weeks, and we're going to speak about faith. And I pray that with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the help of the Lord this morning and every morning that we are able to come together, I would somehow encourage you to come back to a point where your faith really becomes priority for you. That we truly begin to consider our faith in God. I asked you these questions this morning because the fact of the matter is, especially in my job, I talk to people in both spectrums. Those who have a lot of faith, those who have a faith that seems to work, those who have lost faith, those who know nothing of faith, and those who question their faith. I want to take you to a place in this journey that we take, to a place where you begin to pick up the whole idea of faith in your life and your walk with God to become a priority in all that you do, because you will find that everything in your relationship to God has to do with faith. In our whole communication and communicative relationship with God and how He responds to us and how He moves on our behalf and how we offer things, all these things have to do with how we are standing on the foundation of our faith in God. This lesson on faith has been tried to be taught by God to humanity since the very beginning, even in the garden. It may not be clear as He spoke of faith, but when He spoke to Adam concerning what he should do and not do, had to do with faith. Faith in what? In the fact that God told him to do something. He would either trust what God said or not. And the story is more familiar with us. We may remember the people of Israel in the wilderness. After all those years being captive under the iron fist and claw of the pharaohs of Egypt of those days, for over 400 years, these people, as they exited Egypt, and even before they did, they went through an array of challenges in their life. Tribulations and trials, they encountered so many things that would challenge them, them knowing that they were a people of God. Now, God allowed these things, I truly believe, because God was always trying and has been trying to teach you and I and them in the beginning on how to have faith, how to trust Him, how to believe in Him, how to start making our walks with God truly effective and real, just like we read about and many times even in this day hear about. Grow them in their faith. And He did this by allowing them to watch Him provide for them and feed them and protect them. But sadly enough, what we learn about the people of Israel, that every time they went through a struggle, instead of them being inspired and provoked to seek God in a better faith, they ended up bitter, resentful, grouchy in attitude, and ungrateful. We saw them complain at every opportunity. Through every long suffering they may have gone through, every trifle they faced, they complained. When they couldn't find water, they would raise their fists at Moses and say, "Hey, talk to God, we're thirsty." When they were hungry, again they go to Moses, they shake his shoulders and say, "Talk to God, can't you see we're starving?" Every opportunity they had, they either cringed or mourned. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that it's always easier to complain than to actually go seek God for help. But as a testimony will show to us, Moses was like a rock to them. He was like an unshakable rock in their midst. And he always tried to influence the people of Israel to have hope in the Lord, to trust God, to lean on their faith. This is what I want to talk to you about the next few weeks. To take us to a place, ladies and gentlemen, where we don't just simply say, "I prayed in faith," or "go in faith," or "do you have faith?" "Yes, I have faith." And yet say it so flippantly without really looking at the inner core of who you are and how your relationship with God is according to your faith. We're going to find out in this series that faith really is the most important thing that you possess in your communication with God and your entire walk and relationship with Him. You will find that depending on that faith, you'll be able to accomplish and not accomplish things in your life. You'll be able to receive and not receive things from God. Put your hand over your heart this morning with me as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning, giving you thanks for everything that's taken place to this moment. We pray, Father, as we embark on this conversation, Father, however lengthy it may be, Lord, only allow us to travel through it, gaining, Father, wisdom from your word. As we journey, Father God, through this time together, Lord, I pray that every word that you would speak to us, Father, come to cause and provoke us, Lord, to understand the seriousness, Father God, by which you look at our faith. And how earnestly, Father, you desire that every single one of us not simply say we have faith, but truly possess the faith, Lord, that moves mountains. We cry out as that man cried out to you on that day, and we say, Lord, help us in our faith. Today we take the challenge in asking ourselves, what of our faith? And we choose today, Father, in good conscience to look at our hearts and consider the facts about where we are and how we stand. And do we truly have faith in you? Teach us, Father. Grow us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. I don't have too much time, but I'm going to stop when time says it's over or all of you leave. The scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? Is that what your Bible says? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I want to ask you to lend me your imagination, I guess, or consideration, if you will, and let me add respectfully something on the opposite side, or adding furthermore to this particular point that the scripture gives us. I have found in my experience for the past close to 40 years of talking to people that without faith it is impossible to please God. We know that. The scripture tells us that, and I'm going to prove to you why in just a second. But I also have found that an ineffective faith in God that does not provide for you also makes you unhappy. It doesn't please you either. I cannot see anyone who is praying to God and has a petition before the Lord and never gets an answer be happy about the whole idea. I asked you just a second ago, how many of us want God to respond to that petition? And we saw a good sign of hands raised up, because all of us want God to respond to us. And if He responds to you, obviously there's going to be joy in your house. And you've heard it in testimony. Well, God was so generous to us that He allowed us, He responded to the prayers. We prayed over this and God responded. We were asking God over these things and God healed, God raised up, God brought in, God provided, God gave us, or God protected. Anytime you have answered prayer, it brings you and me great joy. So we can say that even faith brings us joy. And just like we can assume that obviously the scripture says that without faith it is impossible to please God, no faith obviously frustrates the Lord. And so may I suggest that maybe ineffective faith might frustrate us too. How many can say amen? Are you following me this morning? Now let me tell you why faith pleases God. By simply looking at the character of God and what He has proposed His heart to do with us is how you find where faith pleases God. You see, the Lord has proposed and positioned His heart with one purpose in mind, and that is to provide for us and to bless us. I want you to know something, even if your opinion differs, God desires to bless you. To not believe that is offensive to God, and it shows ignorance of us according to His character and His word. You'll find in Scripture that anytime it speaks to us about the Lord bringing joy into Himself is when He is able to provide something for His children. It pleasures the heart of God to provide for us. Luke 12 and 32, just for one. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased. What does pleased mean? Happy. It makes Him joyful. For your Father has been pleased to what? To give you the kingdom. If you want to make God happy, then He will be able to give you His kingdom. God wants to bless you. Isaiah 30 and 18. Yet the Lord longs. What does longs mean? When someone says, oh, I long to be with you. There's an insatiable desire to be with somebody. How I long to see my mother again. I long to be with my wife again. I long to spend time with my friend. There is a certain yearning of heart when you use the word long. Anybody long to go to work? Not me. But the Bible says God longs to be gracious to you. Wow, that should bless you. That should tell you that God probably holds His chest and goes, when He speaks of blessing and He thinks of you, He's, oh man, I long to give my children their desires of their heart. He longs. Listen to what it says furthermore. He rises. The very instigator of His strength and the very motivation of Him rising every morning. He says He rises to show compassion. God got up this morning, if He would do such a thing. I know He does neither sleep nor slumber. But just for the sake of this point, if God should rise in the morning, He would rise motivated by the idea and the proposition of His heart to say, I'm going to get up because I want to show compassion to my kids. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. Now, we all know this next verse. Verbatim, it should be Jeremiah 29, 11. Can you quote it out? No, you can't. All right. I'm doing a fine job up here after these many years. Jeremiah 29, 11 says what? For I know the plans I have. There you go. I got you started. Go ahead. Oh, come on. No wonder you know it. My PC guys are asleep here. They should have turned it off to see if you really know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. If you ask God in the morning, Father, what are you going to do? I'm going to prosper my kids. Father, what do you want to do in my life? I want to prosper you. I know I've already pre-planned, I've predestined that plan. I want to bless you in every way. I want to give you an expected future. How many of us are expecting a bad ending and bad future? None of us. Not even God. He wants to bless you and prosper you and give you an expectant future, an expectant hope. And this is what pleasures the heart of God. That he is able to provide all he has promised to us. And not to be able to provide these things, we can assume, if we can safely, that it will not please the heart of God if he can't bless you. If he can't provide for you. It would disappoint the heart of God. The Bible says that the Lord's eyes moved back and forth across the land, trying to find someone on whom he can bestow his power, his grace, his mercy. He's always looking to bless his kid. This is the character and the nature of the God you serve. So don't ever say, God does not want to bless me. He wants to bless you. He's proven it in his scripture. And to ask God for blessing, and to expect blessing from God is normal to God. He's not surprised when you call out to him and say, Lord, I need. If he would be surprised, he would have never said, cry out to me and I will respond to you. Tell your neighbor, God's expecting you to call him. God's expecting you to call him. But here comes the challenge of the hour. What about when he doesn't respond? What about when he doesn't respond to our petition? It seems like the heavens become brass, that God somehow put his beats on and is listening to another tune. And he hears nothing you have to say. What about when we want God to really do something in our stead, but it seems like no one is listening? What happens at that moment to us? What happens to our hearts when that happens in our relationship with God? Well, the fact of the matter, and by experience, I can tell you that many times the devil comes to flood our thoughts and our thinking pattern concerning God, and we begin to ask, is God still there? Is God still listening? Does he still love me? Is there no power to provide for me? Does he even care for me? And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a plague, a satanic plague in the hearts of many Christians who have died on the vine, who have died spiritually and have left their walk with God. Because of unanswered prayer, their faith faltered and failed the moment they cried out to God and nothing happened. I've talked to many people across the years and many in my office and out in the street where I have traveled. A people that used to love God and believe in God and walk with God and on worship teams and teaching Sunday schools and being part of the board of administrations and even some being pastors, having to say nothing good about God anymore. Why? Because there was no response from heaven. He didn't respond when they wanted him to. So we ask ourselves, as these people ask, really, is God failing in his Godship? Well, the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we know deep inside and according to Scripture and our faith that God is almighty forever. That he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. That he is still full of grace and mercy. He is able to do all things, for all things are possible to him. We know that. That doesn't change. That is a matter of fact. They say there are no absolutes in this world. Well, let me give you an absolute. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is an absolute. There is no question. We can put a period at the end of that statement. There is no any kind of counsel or any kind of deliberation or any kind of argument concerning that statement. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know that whatever we say, whenever God does not answer, is he there? Yes, he is. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Does he love me? Yes, he does. Does he care for me? Yes, he does. That is an absolute truth, and you can take that to the bank. So, there must be another culprit for an unanswered prayer. And the only other one in this relationship is you and me. Now, don't turn me off yet. Now, I'm going to bring you into this fight. The only other party in this relationship with God is you. We've learned that God is not a God that suffers with issues, struggles, trials, or failures. We know in Scripture that God has no rival. There is no obstacle that he cannot overcome, and there is nothing that he does not want us to receive or can come. He can stop it before it even gets here. He is all able. So we can determine today, this morning, if that's all we do, we can determine this fact that when it comes to unanswered prayer, it's never God. It's never his inability to respond. So then we take the challenge of looking at us. Now, I've spoken much about introspection from this pulpit over the years. Some of you have just had just about enough with it, but we need to go there because this is probably one of the most important facets of our relationship with God. I asked you a question this morning. How many of us have taken time to examine the condition of our faith? And very few hands went up. Introspection when it comes to faith, ladies and gentlemen, is something that very seldom is done and certainly something that we hesitate to do all the time. Why? Because no one will ever want to place themselves on the judgment seat. No one likes to wake up in the morning and look at themselves and say, wow, you have no faith at all. No one likes to speak ill of themselves. As a matter of fact, we in the flesh are a people who, quite the opposite, like to think very good of ourselves. But that can be a big danger. And I believe that that is one of the biggest lies that Satan has filled the hearts of believers today. Don't worry about your faith, man. Just believe, and that's good enough. But the Scripture tells us that we should examine ourselves. I've read these scriptures time and time again. We have in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 40, the Lord says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return unto the Lord. Let us examine our ways and test them. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, 13 and 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So that tells us, ladies and gentlemen, even when it comes to the element of faith in our lives, we need to take time to see if we really believe in God. Does our life really reflect the life of an individual who has deposited his faith in the Lord? When people see you and talk to you, can they tell that you are totally reliant on God? When you ask God, is it a completely confident prayer, knowing that your voice is being heard by the Most High? I ask you, when was the last time you examined your faith? When was the last time you asked yourself, do I really believe? And again, I remind you, the fear of that is sometimes we find that when we examine ourselves, we may find that we truly, really believe in God very little. That we have learned to depend more on our faculties than truly believe that God is a God of all things. The Bible teaches us, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to read one last verse before we say goodbye this morning for this weekend. And I hope that this verse will teach you how important faith is. It can teach you and teach us all what the efficacy of faith can do in our lives. There is nothing in your life that you need that cannot be provided to you through the vehicle of faith in God. I was telling the church this morning, you know, we hear a lot about God doing things in the other. Here, there, it's always a testimony. Seldom will we see it firsthand within us. And you ask, why is God doing things over there and God not doing things over here? And we start blaming geographics and all these other things, and certainly never, never, always looking out, never looking in. And I was telling the church this morning, I said, you know, when you go to a third world country, I've never been, but you see them all the time, but there are countries in this world that we see on television where the laborer, the field worker, the farmer, these people are living out in desert land. Now, here in the nation we live in, are so blessed to have, we have the water supply system in McAllen and in Enberg and Sherry and everybody else that can provide water for your plants on a daily basis. And we can water at leisure. Some of us have sprinklers set on timers and they go up and down 2-3 times a day. But I think of those farmers in these foreign lands who have no plumbing at all and no rivers around them, but yet they have to eat, so they provide seed for the soil. What do they do after that? You'll find that farmers, by great testimony, some of them are known to be a people of great faith. You know why? Because the only faucet that is going to water their harvest is the faucet from heaven. And so what these people will do is that they will plant their seed, and then they will designate right after that time to bend their knee and spend time in prayer speaking to God that God might open wide the floodgates of heaven to provide water for their crops, or else they won't eat. When they're thirsty, they have no rivers. We have water fountains everywhere, water hoses. You can pull out at every neighbor's house if you're walking on the street and go get water from their water faucet. But what when you have no rivers? You have nothing but sand. And if the seed does not give its harvest, what will they eat? What if you have no bread? What do you do then? When the only faculty you have is prayer. In God. and faith. Then we wonder sometimes, well, I heard that the Lord raised this person from the dead in this third world country. You go like, why is God doing stuff there? Because people have faith in God. There's a difference. And all I'm talking about is dedication and the examination and looking at the element of faith, effective prayer, faith and non-effective faith. The people of Israel found it easier to complain to Moses than to actually bend their knee and call out to God. And here we bend our knee very little and really are not required much faith because we have so many resources. And I'm not saying anything ill about that. I thank God that we are a nation of many, many resources. But is that an excuse to negate and to neglect our faith in God? Let me tell you something. There are things that God will reserve for himself to do and not you. We are a very able people, and I've mentioned this several times. We are a very able people. There is no one that is ignorant in this room or even around us in this whole country. God, there is wisdom, there's creativity, there's ingenuity, there's always ability and talents and gifts. But God reserves for himself a specific area in everybody's life when you can do nothing about something. And he's not doesn't allow these things just simply to stir you and show you who's the boss, but to motivate you to believe and trust in him. To help you raise your head up to heaven and say, I can help this. Have you ever found yourself in a position where no one can help you? Have you? Let me see a show of hands. Just me? Have you ever been in a position when the doctor said, you know, go home and call your family. Or you know what? There's nothing we can do about this. What do you do then? Faith is so essential. One of the most important elements in our lives, in our walk with God. It will lead you, faith will, according to what I understand in Scripture, it will lead you to that abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. The Scripture says that God will withhold no good thing from those that love him. How many know God to be a liar? How many know God to change his mind? Isn't the Scripture said in your Bible in Deuteronomy that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind? How many believe that? So if God promised you something, will he not fulfill it? In the Scripture, God fulfilled many things, and we find that the foundation on which these people stood that caused them to receive the greatness and goodness of God was faith. Let's read, yes? And then we'll pray and we'll go home. Hebrews 11. You know what? I'm even going to have you breathe it. It's too long. Are you going to follow us, PC guys? Here we go. I want to hear the voice of everybody. Ready? One, two, three. Now faith. Keep going, guys. Stay with it. Stop right there. Let's read that again. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith. You know, I heard a man say one time, if a person can get past the first four words of the Old Testament, Genesis, the first book of the Bible, if you can get beyond the first four words of that book, you open up the greatest avenue for salvation for your soul. The greatest opportunity to be saved. If you cannot get past those first four words, there's a great possibility you'll be lost forever. And what are the first four words in Genesis chapter 1? Huh? No. What? Somebody by yourselves, hurry. Huh. In the beginning, God. If you can believe that, the rest of the story becomes real. So by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out. Keep going now. Uh-huh. Come on, we got 40 verses. Keep reading, come on. Pay attention to what you're reading. You see, that's why I didn't want to read it. Come on. Verse 9, come on, 40. Come on, come on. I can't believe you read one verse at home. Come on. I hear every fear on this side. Come on. Only 20 more. Come on. By faith, come on, come on. You're learning something, come on. Let me hear you. Come on. Almost, come on. Almost there. Almost, come on. Take a deep breath. Give yourself an applause. You tell me if faith is not important. Some of you have never even read that chapter or even knew it existed. Some of you have indeed read it, yet you've not paid attention to your faith. Tell me that faith isn't important. That faith is not priority for your happiness in this life. Tell me that faith is ineffective, that it's unproductive, that it's unsecuring, that it's unproviding, and that it's unprotecting, that it's unnecessary. Verse 39, put it back up there. Verse 39 says, they were all what? They were what? What does commend mean? It's to reward somebody. God rewarded every single one of them because of their faith. Every single one of them were acknowledged by God enough to write them down in the history book that is unerasable. God gave them everything they needed for an effective life with Him. He commended them. To commend somebody is to actually physically take them out and bring them up in public, in a public square, and say, he has accomplished. We bless this guy for this. We give him this and we honor him for this. This is what God will do for those of us who pay attention to our faith. Yet today in the world that we live, this Christianity that we live in, very few people will challenge you to pay attention to the condition of your faith. And this is why on many occasions you'll find unanswered prayer. You'll find people coming in and leaving the same, if not worse. You'll find people, Christians, frustrated and disappointed because God seemed to have closed his ears. People that are hurt with God and blame God for things they expected him to do. Well, he said it. Some people will take faith and say, since it's a gift of God, you have nothing to do with your faith. Just take it and it just works naturally. Wrong, my friend. Faith is a gift of God given to you. That means it's made accessible to you. Just like the cross, just like salvation in Christ, you're not automatically saved, my friend. Without Christ, you are not a son of God, my friend, according to Scripture. Don't kill or hate the messenger. It's for those who will accept the offer of God. That's why he said, for whosoever would believe on him would never perish but have everlasting life. And so faith is a gift of God, but we have the responsibility to nurture our faith, to strengthen our faith into a robust, strong, elevated, effective faith. This is why Jude said, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pay attention to how you believe in God. I'm telling you that by the time we're done with this journey, many of us who will grasp this lesson are going to receive what you've been praying for. You've been praying for things that are important to you, but you've paid no attention to your communication through faith in God. And we're going to speak about those hindrances that come, the antagonists of your faith, the little foxes that come to steal from you, the effectiveness of your faith. Why you leave frustrated and God seems not to hear a thing you said. I want you to walk out of here this morning asking yourself, what of my faith? What of my faith? Where is my faith? Do I really believe in God? Do I really trust in Him? Is my life really a reflection of someone who believes and trusts in God? I know it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that will take you to a place where you can enjoy the abundant life that Jesus promised every people. And some of you would say, well, the scripture says that some of them died never having received anything, but that even is a gift of faith. Let me tell you something. That kind of faith will let you keep going in spite of. You'll never be that individual that walks away from God because something didn't happen. These people had enough faith in God that in spite of nothing happening, they still trusted and believed on Him. Very few people exist that way anymore. You find more people walking out of the church today because God seemed to have lent them a deaf ear. And since God did not perform the way they wanted Him to, they get disappointed and say, I want nothing with Him anymore. When you have good faith, effective faith in God, you'll say, if God responds, I know. If He does not, all things work together for good to those that are called according to His purpose. Faith. I have to finish now because some of you will become pumpkins at 1 o'clock. I've got so much more to say. But I want you to walk out of here understanding that God wants you to work on your faith. Because He wants to be happy. God wants you to work on your faith because He wants to be pleased with you. How are you going to pleasure Him? By allowing Him to bestow upon you every blessing He has in store for you. Because God wants to be able to talk to you. God wants to be able to communicate with you. But He's waiting. He said, I will wait. I will long and I will wait to have compassion on you. And I can tell you that God is waiting for a lot of us in this house today. He's waiting. Come on. I've got so much for you. Come on. Trust in me. Believe on me. I've given you a faith that could shake mountains. He remembers every petition you've placed before Him, and some you've ignored because He seemed to have not cared. God remembers those. And you'll be surprised that when God and you and Him align well and you understand the language of heaven, you're going to say, the Lord will come to you and say, remember you asked for this? Yeah, here it is. Lord, I thought you forgot. I never forget. I never forget your birthday. I never forget what you needed. Never. I just couldn't give it to you. What of your faith?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.